Hey guys, Allie Clifton from the Road Trippin' Podcast here. Since living in LA, it's taken me a couple years to find exactly what it is I am looking for in my home and lifestyle outside of work. So if you're like me, you want a change of pace and are ready to take the next step, the nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make your dreams a reality. NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what's right for you. Maybe you're looking for a change of pace, a home big enough for you and your family to grow, with a basketball hoop up front so you can practice your three-point shot. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest mortgage rate to get some room for you, your family, and your hoop dreams. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NMLS 1617539.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
But Miami, if we're going to talk about the Miami culture, D-Fish, the Miami culture has been the Miami culture for since we were young. Right. That is what it is. It ain't for everybody. Like being consistent and playing at a championship level, and I think Jimmy Butler is one of those guys, but he has to understand that that shit is taxing mentally, physically, emotionally, and Miami doesn't care because that's their formula. And it's the hardest thing, I think, in sports is trying to find people, if correct me if I'm wrong, D-Fish, that can fit the championship formula. Because this shit ain't fun. It's not fun. It's you don't win because you enjoy it. You win because, like, that's what you have to do to just breathe and survive and to be happy.
In 2002, when that series ended, both of my hands, like every finger on both hands, were in so much pain. I literally remember telling Rick Fox, I'm so glad we do not have another game to play. I'm glad this season is over. I'm happy we won the championship, of course, but I don't know if I could have played another game. Like, that's how uncomfortable it is physically to, like, have to be consistent, right, from day one all the way through the end of the season and then to have those expectations year in and year out and not necessarily be able to let that, like, let the air out of the balloon because as soon as you exhale a little bit, there's another team, another player. It's like
that's why I try to retire.
It goes quick.
I try to retire as a champion.
So
I don't want to do this anymore. I'm good. Like I was like, I was like,
yeah. No, it's no fun.
I'm borderline.
Yeah, it's no fun to
like. I'm not sleeping.
You almost become obsessive in a sense, which is unhealthy sometimes. No, take the almost part out.
Take the almost part out. Tell the people that we're here to tell people the truth, Fish.
And there is none. And
there is no balance.
I'm not even saying that because that it's right, but it's right. It's only right when you win it all. Otherwise, you feel like a psycho for being that obsessed with something, and then not being able to follow through on it, like not getting it done. Like it drives you insane. Yeah.
Can I ask a question really quick on that thought, really quick before you continue? Because all three of you, I feel like, went through those phases, and I was with these two when they went through their psychotic phases during that championship year. Where does that come from? Like, is it placed on you from, like, is it within you? Is it who you are? Is every player on those championship teams like that? Is it the guys that you played for? I don't know, LeBron,
yeah,
Kobe?
That's a good question. Like, I think it's a combination.
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
You gotta have a little motherfucker in you. Like, I don't care where you're from, the suburbs, what continent, what country, you either got something like, is this more important than you breathing?
Yeah.
Right? You gotta like, you gotta really think that. And you gotta like, when he says obsessive, like in the NBA finals, I knew I wasn't gonna play. I still could not sleep. And I was like, if something happens and I need to play, how do I prepare myself to play guards? Like, how am I going to guard Steph? So, you know, Richard knows we're up in the gym 7 o'clock in the morning and we're working out like it's training camp just in case I might need to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching just as much film as the guy who's going to play 48 minutes just in case so that I can call the game like, hey, watch out for this. Yeah. Don't back screen. Like, and we knew we weren't going to play. Everyone's stress level was above their head, and spending 18 hours with the same people over and and over again
in a high stress situation.
It doesn't matter
money if involved.
Because at that point, legacies. You love everyone. It don't matter if you hate that guy. You fucking learn to love them, and it's you versus them. We were making stuff up just to hate the Golden State Warriors. They were like, hey, Mozzie, they said your commercial about the boot garden sucks. We're like, yeah, shit, like you were trash at Kansas, you know, like all type of shit. Like, oh, what? Yeah, fuck that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, any little bit.
I think.
Yeah, psychotic. Any little bit.
No, I was going to say, too, like, I think there's a point, too, at least for me, where a lot of, and this is the part that's hard for us as we transition out, right, is so much of our athletic careers from even when we were young boys, it becomes a part of your identity as a person. And so it takes a while for us to like separate that as we get older and we become more veteran guys and, you know, family and kids. And we start to realize that that's not actually who we are. Like, that's just what we do. But there are points in your career where it is such a heavy part of your personal identity that the obsession and the anxiety is coming from the fact that if we don't succeed, like, I'm crushed. Like, personally, I am hurt. Like, this is not just a job. This is a part of who I am. And if I fail at it, that means that something is wrong with me. I failed.
Well, this, okay, so like, and I think this is great perspective, Ali, as a competitor and as a D1 athlete. Your only goal is to be the best version of yourself, right? Like, your goal is not, I'm not trying to be Kobe Bryant. Like, we played against you and you weren't trying to be Jason Kidd. Like, Channing's not trying to be fucking Dirk Nowitzki. No, but we're trying to be the best version of ourselves.
I wasn't trying to be
Shaq. But that being said, is that you can't accomplish getting there and all this stuff without being obsessed. You can't. There is no balance in championship. Like, no one has ever looked at like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, like Giannis, Braun, and be like, you know what? Those guys have a good balance. And again, that even trickles down. It's like, look, I might work out 8 hours a day and I might be able to be considered all-star level caliber at my prime. Kobe can work out 8 hours a day and he can be looked at as one of the greatest of all time. It just means that Kobe's being the best version of himself and I'm being the best version of myself. It still takes the same type of psychotic, obsessive, over the top passion that's not healthy. But I'm not trying to be healthy. I'm trying to be a champion. There are two different things, people. Right. Anybody that says that they became the greatest or the best or excelled in a field.
Yeah. And I think that's to your question
about you're lying.
That's where the Kobe.
You're
LeBron,
absolutely lying.
I'm sure Michael Jordan, you know, Magic, Larry Bird, like that's where that connection comes in. Right. Is because you're next to those guys and what Richard just described. They ultimately trust the guys that have that same thing. Right. And so there's a reason why they win championships with certain guys next to them compared to others. Not because other guys aren't talented, but they connect and they relate and they
say it
trust
louder.
Seeing that Richard Channing, Robert Horry, you know, like certain guys just have that same like obsessive manic crazy in him that like he's willing to leave it all out here the way I am, even though like my talent level and my who I am is at a higher level, but he'll fight the same battle that I will. He'll do anything. And that's what kind of separates
he'll do
guys.
He'll
sometimes.
Fight the same way. He'll fight anything. And that's
right.
Yeah, that's why playing with Kobe ain't for everybody. Playing with Bron ain't for everybody. Playing with playing in Miami ain't for everyone. Playing for LA, playing in New York ain't like there's so many little subcultures and subsets that like if it ain't for you, it's because that intensity and that environment wasn't going to allow you to be your best. And I'm sorry. Like when people are like, "Oh, you know, Bron," I'm like, the only reason why Bron respects me and Channing and a lot of guys in that crew is because they saw that we were literally as obsessed as he was. We were as obsessed with winning a champion. And I didn't give a fuck about his legacy. I didn't care about LeBron's legacy. I was not out here trying to win a championship to complete his legacy and he came home. I'm trying to win a championship by myself, for myself. And if I gotta like hitch my wagon to this like this freak of nature, bro. What, and this is what I said this about a lot of championship teams, and I think there's other teams that are missing, and I think D Fish, what do you need from me? Like, you could go to Kobe and just be like, yo, bro, all right, game six, like, what you need? Like, tell me what you need so you ain't got to worry about it, right? And it's the same thing with, like, Channing Frye or myself. It's like, Bron, like, what you need tonight? Like, I don't even think I scored in game seven, but I had 9 rebounds, right? I remember that because I was like,
was good, Richard.
I was like, I have to rebound. I'm like, we're playing small. Kevin is having a chase around. Like, we're not playing with Channing Frye. We're not playing with our bigs. So I got a rebound. And I was like, let me go out there and grab every rebound I possibly can. And it was like, because that means that's one less thing for our great players to have to worry about in that space. And so when people always ask me, oh, I want to make it to the NBA. I'm like, bro, I'm rooting for you. But you like, and like, I'm rooting for you. But unless you realize like the 6 hours that you would have to play by yourself at 15 in a park, just working on shit, like, people don't understand, and it's hard for them to understand, and you try and be respectful, but it's like you have to be psychotic. You have to be talented and psychotic.
Yeah, people forgot. Chris Bosh didn't even score when Miami beat San Antonio.
In that 7.
That game, Chris Bosh was an absolute defensive animal, and I think they played Tim Duncan straight up. So he was like, don't even worry about me touching. He was gassed the whole offensive thing. He was like, I just got to keep Tim Duncan from scoring. He was, dude, I've never seen. And Chris Bosh is an all-star. He's one of the hardest forwards I've had to guard, right? And in our years, there were some, going down to Western Conference, you had some beasts, right? Between LaMarcus, you had Steven Jackson. KG.
Pagasol.
Then you go Kevin Love and Prime. Then you go Boozer and Mehmet Okur, Amari. Then you go Bynum, Elton Brand, Chris Kamen, and then you got
Now we know why you were so stressed and couldn't sleep.
Of the Western Conference, not including David West and Tyson Chandler. I said, who's next? Where's Sacramento? We already played them twice.
Everybody's looking for Sacramento to get right.
Who we got
this
week?
No, don't pour Sacramento.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Here we go.
I know we started this conversation about the current playoffs, but I'm going to make an executive decision because I just think that there's too many good memories and stories that you guys can all share. So let's continue on this flow, if you guys don't mind. Fish, I want to know a story.
I hate Derek's stories.
I want to know your favorite memory from the 2002 championship you won.
He won so many. Allie, see,
I know. Richard, don't go there. Don't go there. Richard, you talked about it a lot. Wasn't it your first time?
Go after Richard.
The favorite memory from
that's
title.
That's not funny, dude.
Honestly, I got it. No. I got it. Mitch Richmond was on that team.
He's like of the 5.
And for me personally, like when the buzzer went off, my emotional like response was hoping that like him experiencing winning a title in his career was like, I hope it meant the world to him. His role was different. He wasn't the same, you know, Mitch Richmond that we knew from Golden State and Sac and all those years. But he still was like a guy that I just had so much respect for. And that to me, yeah, that was my favorite moment. Like just after the buzzer went off,
he was
like
a monster,
knowing that he could put NBA champion monster on his resume, on his Hall of Fame resume. That was a great feeling. I got to keep that 100 on that. That was the best feeling. Oh my gosh. And it was hard though, RJ, to everything we just got through talking about.
Yeah, he's
Mitch Richmond struggled year because he wasn't asked to be Mitch Richmond on a championship team, right? So he had to. He came from 20 a night, 18 a night, and literally probably only had to score six. You know, come off the bench, sometimes play a lot, sometimes didn't play that much, and that's a hard thing for a grown man with big ego. With world success in his background, now you're going to come tell him he's supposed to come off the bench and play 9 minutes and score 3 points and have to go home and listen to people act like he can't play anymore? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, yo, man, what's going on? Yeah, it's like, no, but defense, I thought that to myself. Yeah, I thought that to myself. I literally thought that.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, Chan, we'll talk about how you were oblivious too sometimes. But no, man, I thought that, man, like, would winning a championship at the end of my career, and I was fortunate where I was a starter for a bunch of those years in my career, especially I was came off the bench my first year, second year was a starter, and I was like, well, would it mean as much if I wasn't averaging 18 a game, if I wasn't doing this? Damn right it does, because your role is different. Because people don't understand how much it goes into, like, myself and Channing and guys in like Mitch Richmond's role. Like without Mitch really knowing it, he inspired you to go play your best version, right? Because you're always looking for how can I find new inspiration? All right, we got third championship, going for a three-peat. Well, that's my guy. I fucking love Mitch Richmond. I respect him. I want him to have that on his resume. That's how much I care about my brother next to him and how much I respect him. I'm going to go keep pushing myself. You know, we saw it with Jordan in the Last Dance, how he would just make up ways to keep motivating himself. And yeah. I definitely thought, I was like, oh, what I mean as much, that shit meant so much. That meant so much. I don't care if I was averaging 20, if you're averaging 5, if you played in every game, if you practiced every day and you helped prepare the squad, if you pushed Kobe, if he pushed D Fish, if he, all the things that go into it, man, like Dante Jones, people don't know Dante Jones, perfect example, joins our team literally the last game of the season as a final roster spot. And Dante's in shape. Remember, he almost died on the VersaClimber because he went from like G League. And I'm like, Dante, you are 35 years old. You haven't been in the league all year long. You sign in 10 days and he joins the squad. He had 5 of the biggest points. In game, I want to say game 6, game 5. Game 6. He had 5 of the biggest points. Everybody's in foul trouble. Warriors are coming in. We were like, okay, Dante, we just need 2 minutes. Dante goes in there, gets a layup, then gets a bucket and an and-one. Yeah. Lead goes from X to X. No like doubt. And like that, he earned it. You earned it, bro. Like, you contributed to the success in literally 2.5 minutes in a crucial spot. You earned a championship. It doesn't matter if you were there for 82 or if you scored 20 a night. You contributed to the success of this team. And would we have won that game if he would have gone in there and gave up an and one? If he would have gone in there and gave up a bucket, now instead of giving us 5 points, he cost us 5 points. And now instead of it being up by 5, we're down by 7 or you're down by 2.
It's high.
Like that shit, the stress of people in those positions is something that I think is greatly underestimated.
Back to you in a second, but first we want to tell you about our friends at NerdWallet. Hey everyone, Allie Clifton here from the Road Trippin' Podcast. Are you still dreaming about a home with a driveway hoop? Well, what if we told you NerdWallet can help you take the first steps to make those dreams a reality? NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what is right for you. And since you're getting a front yard hoop, let's make the backyard perfect for barbecues and NBA watch parties. NerdWallet can help you find a low mortgage rate so you can find the right place with lots of space
in both yards. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. That's NMLS 1617539. All right, road trippers, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it, and we know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA prop game across the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category you can think of. Once again in the game now, there's no better time with the NBA playoffs now underway. All new users that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players and select an over-under on their daily projections. And you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sport entries. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Make this year's NBA playoffs a little more exciting and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your app store and download the app today. Remember, road trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I will say, before we wrap this up, let me preface just that question there, Richard, was because as we were setting this up with D-Fish, he asked if we could take it easy on him. And on Friday, we were talking on the show with D-Fish and Meta in a commercial break. And I never put two and two together that you two competed in those championships. So I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that? And so I was like, oh no, no, we will roast Richard D-Fish. It's okay. We'll roast
Richard. Or how about the time Kobe stepped out of bounds and Ron Artest caught that air ball and sent us home out of the Western Conference Finals? That was horrible.
No, it's no, we're like, wow, conference finals. Channing, we don't talk about conference finals. It's
yeah, we do.
We either talk about championships, that type of stuff.
We
don't
talk. 10th that year. Hey, we thought we had a chance because we went into a zone. Andrew Bynum and freaking Pau Gasol were barbecuing Amari. So we were like, damn, okay, we gotta do something different. And to mess with the triangle, you just go in a zone so that they can't do that little Chicago screen where his little ass is elbowing the shit out of you. So we're just like, Amari, stay here. So we had to teach Amari a 1-3-1 zone, and he kept messing it up every
shoot
single
around.
Day. Because he's like, hey, I didn't go to college now. I didn't go to college. I don't know about this.
Amari's
but like,
amazing.
I remember, here's why I thought it was wild and how much the role players like Lamar Odom was committed to winning. I wasn't even guarding Lamar Odom, and he would still pass the ball to Kobe and be like, you better go double team. Yeah. I'm not going to shoot it. They would just stand there. They'd be like, I'm not go. Yeah. I know what you got to do. Go. And Kobe, Kobe went Kobe.
Now,
Lamar
Odom is,
like,
is one of the most underrated players in the history of our league. Like his talent level, and had he just been on teams where he just could have, you know, done his thing, like he would have had Hall of Fame numbers easily, you know, in terms of like what he's capable of doing on the floor. But he was so unselfish and selfless, and like he felt more comfortable, like what you described, right? Like, and here's my dog again. He wanted to make everybody else better. Love that dude. Just absolutely love him.
What kind of dog do you have? That is a strong bark.
She is an Italian Mastiff.
Mastiff.
So she's like 125, 130.
You got sounds like Simba.
Yeah.
What is that thing? 150 pounds?
Podcast could have gone on for like longer. Before we let you go,
What's up?
That's what it sounds like. Bring it full circle and get what your thoughts are on the playoffs for the NBA. Just what you're looking for to kind of.
I think, you know, this is one of those years where with COVID and health and safety protocols and the injuries and all of the like inconsistencies of the regular season, in my opinion, it's hard to really measure, probably other than Phoenix, like who really at their best is capable of winning it. I think to RJ's point, Milwaukee probably in the East, you know, when they're healthy and at their best, like to me, they are the team that comes out of the East. Phoenix has had the best season. They're capable of coming out of the West. I think they have the most motivation. Like when you lose in the finals, you talk about obsession. Oof. Like Phoenix has it. They are carrying. It's going to be hard to eliminate them. I'll just say it that way. Like they have no intentions of feeling what they felt last year. No intentions. So I'm looking for I do think the league is in that transitional stretch though, where like, you know, what Giannis has established, but then if Luka is healthy in terms of his calf, like, you know, the Dallas Utah series can shift a lot of things. Cause there's a lot of questions about where does Quinn Snyder's future in Utah or LA ? You know, based on what happens in that series. Memphis is really interesting to me. Like, I think those guys are, remember like the Andre Iguodala trash talking thing when Iggy didn't want to go to Memphis? And I felt like Ja and Dylan Brooks, like they went in a little too much to me on that. Like I felt like they hadn't really done enough in the league to be questioning Andre Iguodala. But dumb dudes, I gotta take what I said at that time back, because they knew
inside of them that knew,
and they have backed up those words of like they wanted to build something that like if you don't want to be a part of this, that's on you. But we're about to build something really special here in Memphis. So I'm really curious to see in a 2-7, right? Like if the Clippers are able to get past Minnesota and get 7. That Memphis Clippers series is going to be really interesting, because T. Lou's ability to get the most out of his team in a playoff situation with a young team that hasn't been there, but they got the swag and the confidence. To me, Taylor Jenkins is an underrated, like what he's done with his team, because they were 20-4 without Ja Morant this year. So the job he's done as a coach, like he's not going to probably win Coach of the Year. But somebody should make up some type of coach's award or something to give to him, because he has done a phenomenal job.
I thought he was my coach of the year. He was my coach of the year, considering that they were the 8th last year, and they're the 2 this year, and Ja has missed as many games. That's coaching. I know, look, Phoenix has done the same, but Phoenix's depth, they were already number 1 last year. That means they're number 1 again this year. So it's like, that's not to take away from him. Yeah. That's not to take away from what Monty Williams has done, but I just think if we were to break down
we saw Memphis at 2.
Better coaching job, but, you know, by like a minuscule mark
in the West.
I would say, you know, I got to give that to Memphis. No way.
Yeah.
2. No, especially if you say Ja Morant is going to miss.
Monty should have got it last year.
4 games.
That, like, you know what I mean? Like, in my opinion. And I respect the heck out of Tibbs.
People's heads would explode.
I feel like Monty should have got it last year.
All right.
He'll probably get it this year because people that didn't vote for him last year feel bad that they didn't vote for him last year. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Richard, if
I've had people say those exact words to me.
So let me clarify.
I've had people with votes say those exact words.
Upon us, we're so excited, but it also means the start of the actual best thing, the WNBA. D-Fish, you're amazing. Yeah. We wish you the Sparks.
Thank you.
All the success. So excited you guys open up May 6th in Chicago. What an awesome scheduling note there by the league. Congrats. Exciting.
With that said,
we want to thank our families over at Camus, Wagner family, for the wine that they supply.
They know what they're
for
doing.
For all of these episodes, D-Fish, I will get your address. We will send you a couple bottles from Camus.
Thank you so much.
And if you love what you are listening to or watching here with Road Trippin', you know what to do. Call, subscribe, text us, rate us, review us, all the things. 6575-CALL-RT. That'll do it for this edition of Road Trippin'.